There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday, Election Day Eve for municipal elections. And we'll lots to talk about there. So you know, just kind of stack up stories. We'll talk about that today. Also, who knew? Signed this morning, there was President Trump signing into law through executive fiat that you cannot burn a old Cracker Barrel sign. Who knew? No, the president moving up. What? It's two different stories. Oh, I thought it was that Trump said you couldn't burn the old Cracker. Okay, we'll get to that in just a little bit on today's show, and obviously look forward to tomorrow's election. And we've got some funding numbers in on that. We'll talk about it. Plus, Ghislaine Maxwell keeps herself in the news and therefore alive. Didn't get a chance to talk about John Bolton last week. That's in the mix. But to lead off the show here, it's my friend and yours, AlabamaDailyNews.com, the website. And we will talk about, we hadn't talked about IAP in a while, but AlabamaDailyNews.com, the website, and the TV show, if you like to look at TV, Capital Journal, the host of all those things, is Todd Stacey. Hey, man.
How's it going, Sean?
It's good. And as you pointed out in your email, it's football time, so everything is good.
Yeah, I mean, y'all have an exciting time down there with the mayor's election, and of course, it's not just one. Got a couple of...
Yeah, score it for us, your perspective from Montgomery. It's like, so,
I mean,
where does this rank from your perspective where you are? Because, I mean, obviously it's omnipresent down here. Mayoral elections in the state of Alabama, is this one in the top three for people paying attention?
Oh, absolutely. But to me, I was having a conversation with somebody down there the other day, is that, you know, one thing, you know, Mobile has come such a long way. In the, let's just say the last 20 years, but you could, you know, make that a smaller amount.
12?
Yeah, sure. Yes. And but that's, I mean, it's significant, and it's been meaningful on the state level as well, that Mobile has just come so far and become this cosmopolitan city. And so you don't want to lose that, right? You don't want to lose that momentum. Now, look, I'll say this. It seems like the slate of candidates is pretty high quality. You know, it's not, sometimes in elections you've got like a truly concerning candidate that's like, oh man, if this guy gets elected, he's gonna dismantle, you know, some progress. I don't, from the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like that. So maybe y'all have got some good choices, but absolutely, it matters so much more who you elect at the local level than really even, you know, Senate and governor and things like that. The local people, that's what really matters to you.
Yeah, I've said this. See, y'all, Todd's saying the same thing. You know, that it not that, and it's not like only pay attention municipal. No. Absolutely pay attention to what goes on federally at national level. But yeah, there is a, and we'll see what the turnout looks like, but it has for a long time been very different from like a presidential cycle to a municipal cycle, you know, or even just a regular off-season congressional.
Oh, sure. You know, it's because everybody gets fired up about the president, right? I mean, that's when all the big money ads come out, and that's what, you know, we kind of tend to do. But I just think, you know, from over the years working in politics, you elect a bad mayor or someone who's not going to enforce the law and things like that, your city can go downhill pretty quickly. And so I'm glad to see a vigorous campaign down there. And yes, it matters a great deal statewide. Part of the reason for that is it's an open seat. You know, like up in Birmingham, you've got Mayor Woodfin running for re-election, but in all likelihood, he's going to run away with it. You know, but this open seat from Mayor Stimson's retirement makes it a really fascinating race. And the folks I talked to say, look, nobody's running away with this thing. There's going to be a runoff. And I've asked, you know, several different people, and they all have different ideas about who's going to likely be in the runoff. That tells you it's a pretty tight race.
100%. I do want to pick up the statewide story here, too. More VRA in the mix as federal judge rules Alabama Senate district violates the VRA. Explain this one to me.
Well, so this is not congressional redistricting. Right. This is state. Legislative. Yeah. Right. And so the we'd been waiting on this case to run its course from the same round of redistricting, but this was for the state Senate. And the judge ruled that, yes, in fact, that the state Senate's districts did violate the Voting Rights Act. She said specifically that there were two districts in question, one up in Huntsville and one in Montgomery. The one in Huntsville got a reprieve, but the one in Montgomery, Senate District 25, she says could have been drawn differently to include more black voters. And so there's going to be a hearing for remedies for that this week. We'll see. But I expect there to be more challenges to this in terms of appeals and things like that. But it's a very, very, very long ruling. I can't necessarily recommend it to folks who aren't already involved in this, but yet again, Alabama could be going back to the drawing board. It's just one state Senate district, but you know, once you mess with one line, you got to mess with them all a little bit. So I know that the legislature is not eager to do that.
Yeah, but this is—I mean, there could be more, and even on a federal level here too, talking about looking at it won't be this cycle, but. Do you think there's a chance in two more years we start redrawing AL1 to AL2 at that level?
A lot of it just depends on how these court cases go. I fully expect the Supreme Court to have some kind of decision on this. Who's right? Are we supposed to follow the Voting Rights Act or the letter of law even when it conflicts with the 14th Amendment? I mean, to me, that's a little crazy. This really should have been worked out a long time ago. But it's in the Supreme Court's hands right now. And, yeah, you could see another effort to redraw. I think longer term, there's going to be a new census in 5 years, in 2030. That's where a lot of this really got screwed up, was how the pandemic impacted this census in 2020. And you had some states that it seems pretty obvious now kind of gamed the system. They did a lot of things that would not have been acceptable in a non-pandemic. So states like Illinois and Massachusetts and California didn't lose the seats that they probably should have. That's coming in 2030. If the census is done well and done right, states like Florida, Arizona, they're Texas, obviously, huge growing states, those seats are going to be red seats. There's a lot of gamesmanship happening right now, but hopefully in 2030 we can kind of right the ship.
Dude, it's interesting too. I don't know if you got to see it. It was sent to me last week or the week before. A Pew Research finding on the census. It said projected change in congressional seats after the 2020 census, and it showed Alabama. Of course, it was all hands on deck, make sure everybody showed up so we wouldn't lose that congressional seat. It shows the margin here of Alabama retaining the seven districts. Based on the population count of what they called unauthorized migrants here, so illegal aliens. Alabama benefited from it, at least according to this Pew study.
Yeah, I think most states do, on the margins. So that'll be interesting to see, if these deportations keep taking place, does that impact anything? But it is, it's residents. It's not just citizens. That's how the law is written. If you're living somewhere, you are counted towards being a resident and congressional representation. People might not like that, but that's the way it is. And actually, one of the nice things about the 2020 census was we're not losing population. Alabama is growing, and that's a good place to be in. It's certainly a lot better than the alternative, where you might be losing a congressional seat. We are not in danger of that at all, which, people thought we might be. We're not growing quite like Florida, quite like Texas, but Alabama is growing.
Well, maybe what happens is Florida and Texas get filled up with people leaving from California and New York. Then it's filled up, and then people from Texas move to Alabama.
Maybe so. I don't know. I'm still tinkering around with the idea of just keeping the Alabama line south to Apalachicola. That's
are we gonna do that? I mean, you did that in grade school, right? We did that down here, the Gulf State, and all, you know, or take it over the what we would look like if our lines went the whole way there, the east state line went the whole way to the coast.
Right. Now, I used to work for Governor Riley, and we did quite a bit of flying down to the coast during the oil spill, right? And he'd just kind of have a moment of levity and be like, you know what, let's just say, put our National Guard, we just invaded, it would be in the courts for years. he's kidding around, obviously, right. Because we'd be like, you could see the lines, you could see the Gulf. Like, let's just, call up the National Guard. It'll be in the courts for years.
Yeah, we'll have enough tax revenue from lodging coming in to pay for whatever we need to do.
No kidding.
Todd, I would ask you on this. I know it's not, it wasn't in the email today, but I just, the SSUT lawsuit here, I talked about it last week on the show. Where does that stand? I mean, you've got Mountain Brook and you've got Tuscaloosa. I did a forum with the Mobile mayoral candidates the other day, and I asked if they would, join that lawsuit just theoretically. And I think they were, one was maybe yes and the others were no. Do you see other municipalities joining this thing? I mean, this is a lot of money we're talking about.
It is. I do know that municipalities, cities are mostly on the same page that they're getting shortchanged. They feel like that they're getting shortchanged compared to counties and the state. And it's kind of hard to argue that. The question is, how are you going to fix it? Because the counties are going to come, if any kind of legislative effort to open this can of worms again, the counties, who were pretty powerful as well, they're going to oppose it because they're kind of getting the better end of the stick. But it is a real issue. And I don't blame cities for challenging its legality. But again, this was really hard to actually, get enacted into law. Tip of the cap to former state senator Trip Pittman, worked for years on this. And so it's hard to see that, again, it can get opening back up. But you can't blame cities for saying, we're not getting the same tax benefit, even though these sales, the whole point was to fix online sales and get everything out of it. I will say this, the more I hear, we could benefit by having some actual data on this. It would be nice to hear from Amazon and other online retailers like Walmart exactly what sales are going where. Lawmakers could probably work that out. And then it would be nice to see, like, apples to apples what's going on instead of what can be kind of a rhetorical argument. I'm more of a data person, anyway. So we'll see what happens. But I really doubt that the legislature is going to get involved. And I have no idea why or how a court would involve itself. But they certainly are out there messaging that, hey, I need a better deal.
Yeah, I mean, you could talk about the allocation of revenues across state, gas tax. You could say, look at how much money that Baldwin County produces in gas tax goes to places that aren't Baldwin County.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a slippery slope. And, I mean, it should be acknowledged just how much this change, this finally collecting taxes on sales online, it has benefited the state. It really saved the general fund, which was always running short of money. So, lawmakers, who that's their job to dole out this money and figure out where to spend it, they don't want to do away with this. It's been a real boon. And it's fairness, right? I think that's another key thing. It's not fair for a mom and pop, brick and mortar operation to be charged all kinds of sales tax, and yet you go online and their online competitors get nothing, don't want to charge anything. That's the way it was 10 years ago. And so it's a good thing that they fixed it. But like with any policy, somebody's going to be a winner, somebody's going to be a loser. We'll see where it goes.
100%. I told everybody at the beginning here, we haven't talked about IEP in a while. And I know it's for nerds. I enjoy it. But if somebody wants to get signed up for that, that's the, because we're talking about going to get signed up for the email, which is completely free. But it is a service here for IAP. How do they do that?
Yeah, that's right. That's the paid subscription, right? So everybody knows that when you pay for a subscription, you get a little more content. Mm-hmm. You get a lot more content, actually, and exclusive content, which is going to be interesting going into this election year. So, yeah, just go and hit that subscribe button. You can see the different plans, monthly plan, yearly plan. You even have group plans for your organization if you want to buy a subscription for your whole company. So that's just aldailynews.com and hit that subscribe button.
Okay. Also, if y'all go there, you can sign up for the email for free while you're there. Get that 6 days a week. And then in addition, you had a stacked show on Capital Journal this week.
Oh, yeah, we did. I mean, we're back in the studio, talked with Heath Harmon. He's the Athletic Association director as high school football gets kicked off. Also talked with Representative Margie Wilcox about some of these very issues. She's plugged in down there in West Mobile. Mm-hmm. Also talked with Trish Crane. She's our senior education reporter, about some of the school-level data that's coming out for the last round of test scores. Some promising news in terms of what kids are, how they're improving, but not all promising. And so I absolutely encourage you to listen to that conversation.
Good stuff, Todd. We appreciate it. We'll be talking to you next week.
All right, Sean. Be good.
All right. There goes Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. Mobile is one of at least three cities where Lululemon stores have been targeted by smash-and-grab burglars. The location in Mobile's Legacy Village Shopping Center is back open today despite boarded-up damage. Saturday morning, police discovered a vehicle had struck the building. The officers learned whoever was behind it then stole merchandise from the store. An employee says thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. Similar crimes have happened in the past week in Atlanta and Greenville, South Carolina. We've learned more about the couple whose plane crashed in Gulf Shores over the weekend. A husband and wife from Paris, Texas, were flying to Gulf Shores in a single-engine plane. They are both seriously injured. The plane crashed around 2 in the afternoon yesterday near Highway 59 in a vacant lot between the Welcome Center and Coastal Alabama Community College. City of Robertsdale is building a new amphitheater. The city received a statewide grant to obstruct an outdoor amphitheater and make other improvements to Centennial Park. The project will cost $2.5 million. Devin Walsh, News 5.
At Roy Lewis Construction, we're in the business of adding value. Whether it's working with you to meet your unique business needs or making investments in our community in lasting ways, providing unparalleled value and quality in every commercial construction project. When planning your next commercial project, reach out to Roy Lewis Construction. We'll pair you with a designer that best suits your project needs and work with that designer to balance the best architectural outcome with the best budget outcome. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com. Building legacies, one relationship at a time.
Wayne Biggs. Saraland isn't just where he lives. It's where he's invested his life. Wayne, a small business owner for over 38 years, trained in workings of city government because he believes Saraland deserves real leadership. Wayne cares deeply about Saraland's future, not for politics, but for people. Wayne Biggs, ready to serve with heart, experience, and results. Let's build a better Saraland together. Wayne Biggs for Mayor of Saraland.
Paid for by the committee to elect Wayne Biggs, Saraland, Alabama.
I'm Wes Allen, Secretary of State. In Alabama, election integrity is a top priority. We must ensure fair, secure, and transparent elections. To vote in Alabama, state law requires voters to present a valid form of photo identification. For a complete list of acceptable identification, or to learn more about acquiring a free photo voter ID, visit alabamavotes.gov.
This message is presented by Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen.
This is Ben Reynolds. As District 4's council member, I've stayed focused on what matters most. One issue, one street, one neighborhood at a time. Together, we've resurfaced 50 miles of roads, funded a new fire station on Azalea, and upgraded drainage. We've added lighting and cameras in high traffic areas, all for safety. We've repaired, replaced, and rethought how the city shows up for people. In my second term, I'll keep pushing for what works. Smarter infrastructure, safer streets, and honest conversations. Tuesday, August 26th, I'm asking for your vote.
Paid for by the Ben Reynolds Campaign.
I'm Stephanie Bryan, chairwoman of the Porch Creek Indians. Tourism and hospitality are more than industries to the Porch Creek Indians. Providing a warm welcome is part of our heritage. It's central to who we are. From Atmore to Aruba, we've created more than 20 unique travel and tourism destinations, providing unforgettable guest experiences and life-changing career opportunities for our tribe and our neighbors in Alabama and beyond. Learn more at PorchCreekIndians.org.
When Connie Hudson served on the city council, she demanded more police officers and expanded precincts, which resulted in crime falling 25%. That's why former police chief and sheriff Sam Cochran is supporting Connie Hudson for mayor.
I'm Sam Cochran. I worked with Connie Hudson for over 20 years, both as chief of police and as sheriff. She's the only candidate I trust to lower crime, and that's why I'm voting for Connie Hudson for mayor.
On August 26th, vote Connie Hudson for mayor. Paid by Connie Hudson, 1965, University Boulevard, Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:26, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. So my friend Devin says a Lululemon heist worth thousands of dollars of merchandise. Well, it's like three outfits or something. I had to go in that store before with my eldest, my daughter there, and reach thousands of dollars in merchandise pretty quickly. The big Lululemon caper right here in Atlanta and Greenville. What about the, that's the lead news story today, all right? Should we get, I hate that I don't have time, and I do not do interviews with candidates on the day before and on election day. Just never have. I think it's because somebody can say something and then it twists and then there's not time for somebody to react. So I don't do that. But I would like to hear what were the Mobile mayoral candidates or council candidates in other cities. What's their take on the Lululemon heist? That's what I got to know. That is what I got to know. And also stories from over the weekend. I mean, just throw this into the mix. I saw it's been reported, but I happened to come through where that accident was, the deadly accident on 43. And we're coming back from gator hunting on, I guess, yeah, this Saturday night, about 11:30 or so, coming back from the north, heading south on 43. And not only the scene of the accident was something, I mean, it was a deadly accident. And I had, you know, trying to keep it kind of quiet, had my boy in the car. I didn't want to point out what was going on there. You know, you see the sheets over the vehicles. But there were, I want to say plural, but I want to make sure I'm accurate. There were 100 people up and down 43. Up and down 43. They were standing there on the side of the road. It pulled in there, and I saw they said there was a response from multiple law enforcement there. I saw the people I talked to. I saw Chatham police there. They came the whole way from Chatham down there, right on the, pretty close to the, well, it was still in Washington County, but pretty close to the Mobile County line. And and we might find out more about this story, but there's this wreck, deadly wreck. You've heard about this, but there were, I mean, I want to say hundreds, but that at least 100 people at 11:30 at night, cars parked all up and down 43, people walking like they'd park and be walking up to the scene, and law enforcement was there trying to keep the other people from getting hit on the road. So it was a scene there. And I know it's not like nobody reported the wreck. They did, but the secondary part of it, I've never seen anything where hundreds of people would come out, 100 people would come out to the scene of an accident at 11:30 at night. But that was a thing. All right, I got your text to get to, and we'll get to those. Also, talking about what is tomorrow with municipal elections. See, Derek's already asking, do you want to lay bets on tomorrow? Are we laying bets on tomorrow? Yeah, we can do that. You can hit us up with on the text line what you think is going to happen tomorrow. We'll talk about those. Plus flag burning, Cracker Barrel, and John Bolton in the mix.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, 35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, by the way, too, you can hit us up on the text line, phone line. They're both 343-0106. Plus, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us one of those talkback messages. Front page of the app, you'll see a microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show. And if you don't have the app yet, join the crowd. Get the app. It's free, waiting for you. If you're an iPhone user, it's over at the App Store. Android users, go to Google Play. Both places, just look for FMTALK1065. Do not put the point between the 6 and 5, because it screws it up somehow. I don't know. And we're not called that. So FM Talk 1065. And if you'll search that, you'll see our app. It's free. Get it and enjoy. All right, to the text line here. Let's see the first one here. Derek had said, are we laying bets on tomorrow? Sure. If you want to send in what you think is going to happen in municipal elections. I mean, Derek, the bet thing would be me disagreeing with you. But maybe I can, you know what, maybe... Although the state's probably listening. It would make me a bookie or something if I'm taking your action on this and laying off of somebody else. But yeah, you can tell me what you think. This is people doing Mobile mayoral, but council, whatever. You can go to the text line at 343-0106 and hit us up there. So Derek, thank you. Derek's got his first in. We'll talk about that in a second. Mentioned, of course, at the end of Jeff's show or the beginning of my show, I'm still kind of slack-jawed. I mean, I took advantage of the stock drop for Cracker Barrel to buy some last week. Gary in Somerdale says the woke group is probably the problem and shows me who owns Cracker Barrel. Now, this is, I don't know if this is accurate or not. It was, but it seems like BlackRock. Well, what owns, let's see, at least according to this, which I don't know if this is true or not. We'd have to go back and actually check it. But BlackRock owns 14.52% of stock in Cracker Barrel. I don't know that that's true, but there you go. Who's got any problem with BlackRock? Wouldn't be me. I'm their biggest proponent. CB Carl said, I drove past the new Cracker Barrel billboard out in Alberta today and almost forgot to be outraged about it. That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's just, I don't know you can say like a dumb move to change the logoing and the lettering. Yeah, but I don't know how that's woke. I did hear the CEO. Somebody sent me that clip and I saw it. She's absolutely somebody who doesn't eat at Cracker Barrel, right? She's doing, it's performative. She's talking about why it's great. Yeah, I didn't feel the Cracker Barrel vibe with her at all. So that part is interesting, but I think it's just probably a bad business decision. And it is, I'll say, short term, it's bad. I think they come out of it. But I know that people, friends of mine that are left and friends of mine that are right, have commented they didn't like it. So, I mean, it's bipartisan upset with it. Let's see. Terry said, secession. Bring back West Florida. Say goodbye to Montgomery. We're talking about that. We're talking about that, the way the lines were drawn way back when, as we passed the marker there in Mobile County on the way up Go Gator Hunting with my son. I was telling him that marker there, that was international. He was probably asleep at that point, but I was telling him that's, you know, that used to be an international boundary right there, son. Sure, he was either asleep or watching somebody unboxing something on YouTube. Let's see. Jerry in Fort Morgan, they were flying over the coast discussing how they were going to screw the coast out of the oil spill money. Or probably saying, listen, if we had more coast, how much more money could we get, right? He's reacting to what Todd had said earlier. Ultra Runner said, Alabama is growing, but four of our largest 13 cities are majority minority cities like Mobile, and all four are losing population. All the other cities but one are gaining population. How do we reverse this trend in Mobile? That's kind of like, I mean, that's probably, you wrote that question better than the one I asked during the forum we had a couple weeks ago. But we'll see. Let's see. Unnamed texture says, unnamed texture. If not, my apologies. I don't, says, my money's on a runoff. Okay. Well, that, you get no, oh, I know who this is. Your money's on a, that's not good. That's the easiest bet. What is it? Dalton can tell me. I don't know how all the gambling stuff works. So you'd have to, it'd be 1 to 3 to 1 or whatever. In other words, you'd have to risk 3 times the money to win 1/3 of the money. Because I think the hotter take, if you want to be like crazy hot takes, that it won't be a runoff. I do agree with that texture. It is. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a runoff. I have my opinion on who it's going to be as well. Let's see. Fire Dog said, I walked into Lululemon in Pensacola with my 19-year-old daughter. I know of Lululemon. She picked out 3 items. It was just over $200, by the way. Mine's 19 as well, Fire Dog. I feel your pain. He said, after the nice paramedics picked me up off the floor and gave me oxygen, I was okay. My wallet wasn't. Believe me, that, we're reacting. If you'll hear Devin's report from WKRG, they're talking about the Lululemon break-in there. They said they made off with thousands of dollars of merchandise. And for people like Fire Dog and myself or any other parents out there, you're like, yeah, that could have been like four things. Also, Fire Dog goes on to say, I don't see how the Cracker Barrel change is woke. I just think they should fire the 22-year-old marketing person that thought it up. Yeah, that's fair. Like, you can say you don't like the sign change, but I just don't know how that fits in with, you know, if the woke group was attacking everybody that was not woke, right? Forever. I mean, is it petering out some? Yes, I told y'all back then it eventually would. But, you know, everything was anti, whatever you did, like, you know, I mean, people come after me. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not your test subject here. They're like, well, you're not doing such and such. I'm like, yeah, well, that's not. So just the same way that there was ridiculousness from the woke folks, you know, and like I said, early on, the very beginning of it, there were some things that needed to be addressed were fair. But the thing is lost. It's childish, right? Banning this and that. But on the flip side, too, not everything we disagree with is woke. Sometimes stuff is just stupid, right? Some people were just, like, did they make a stupid move? Sure. Like, when the companies change logos or something, like the Bud Light thing, that's a woke thing, right? But changing the sign, it might be bad business, but I don't know that it's woke. Martin says, are you saying those people were gawkers at the accident scene and the police were not telling them to leave? It was weird. Yeah, so Martin, they were, or the officer, he couldn't tell me a whole bunch, I think, like he wasn't allowed to, but said, there's a bunch of folks up here coming to see who was responsible for the accident or something like that. It was 100 people, Martin, up and down the road. We sat there because they took southbound 43 and made it, you know, like you're going through a work zone. Like they'd let the northbound traffic come over onto the southbound and come up, and then they would you'd stop you. And then when they were through, they'd send you on just like you're like a road paving crew or something. And so I got to talk to him for a little bit there. And he said, it's just, he said, when they got there, and this was law enforcement said, when they got there, there were the people were kind of in the road and they were trying to get people off. It was something I'd never seen anything like it. Never saw anything like it before. I mean, at 11:30 at night, 100, and I keep wanting to say hundreds, but I can't prove that, 100 people there alongside 43. Bruce says, Sean, I knew the young lady, family of one of my childhood friend's granddaughter. My childhood friend's granddaughter, so sad. Bruce, all I know is I saw the, and it, no, it was sad because we saw the sheets up, you know, where we knew somebody had passed. And like I said, I was trying to not pay a lot of attention to it, trying to get my boy not to pay attention to it. But it was something to see. Bruce, I'd never seen so many people out at an accident scene. King of all unnamed textures says eventually the sign will read Cracker Rock. Believe me, I said the other day, if you want to, if we have changed something, change that cracker in the title. All right, this Mob Dog said the runoff, his bet here is, by the way, so yeah, we'll read some of these. Derek says prime by five, plus five, prime plus five. And so Mobile Mayoral. This one from King of All Unnamed. Oh, no, next one up. This is from Mob Dog. Said runoff between Mr. Lucy Greer and Paul Prine. Also, people complaining about Cracker Barrel change. Haven't been there in years, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm not a big consumer. I mean, I have no problem. I've talked about it. It's like a road trip place, right? I know for some people it's like a Sunday after church thing. But for me, it's always been a road trip thing. But I'm so obsessed with the time it takes to get somewhere. That we're not stopping anywhere for an hour. We got to get something there in the gas station, kids, and we're going to move on. Michael says the only problem with Cracker Barrel, it's confusing their customer base. The octogenarians already have enough problems finding their bifocals. Easy with the bifocals here, Michael. Okay, easy. Bifocals, I'm even thinking trifocals now for myself. Problem finding their bifocals. Now they're going to be lost riding around town looking for the front porch rockers. Oh, did they get rid of the rocking chairs? I can't believe they did. I can't believe they did because it's, don't they sell those things for some kind of crazy money? I think so. I think, you know, you can rock on them, but they're for sale as well. I mean, I looked at them before and I said, that's not for me because it must have been too expensive. The, let's see here. Concerning AL.com, locking top stories, just Google the headline and it's free. Okay, that's interesting. Terry says the new Cracker Barrel is just plain ugly, kind of reflective of their food as of late. Okay. Ultra Runner. Prediction. Prime with 20... Okay, here we go. So here's some percentages, too. Prime with 23% of the vote. Drummond, 39%. Runoff. Hope is Prime, and Hope is Prime 50.01% to avoid a runoff. I think there's going to be a runoff for sure. Not for sure, but I think there's going to be a runoff. Texture says it's a brand problem with restaurants or a generation problem. Poor service from people that don't have a work ethic or respect can destroy any business. Yeah, I don't know if sign, a sign change changes that, does it? Good. I got my bifocal people chiming in. Thank you, bifocal people, making me feel better. Supermom says the rocking chairs are staying. So there you go. Good. And here we go. Gen X. So one of our youths, which, by the way, the ratings, which have been a blessing. Thank you, y'all. It's been a real testament over the years. And just our audience keeps getting, it keeps expanding like waistlines, right? So many younger people listening to FM Talk 106.5. Those of us bifocal folks, and then now younger people. This texter, a Gen Xer who wears bifocals. And he says, I'm Gen X and wear bifocals, and we are still the bad blank generation. Well, listen, we got to stick together in Gen X, right? But we got millennials moving in the mix, Gen X, and all, like, the bifocal thing is now very interesting to me because I am back and forth with two different sets of glasses, and so I'm bifocal focused right now. Another story just saw here just a few minutes ago, and maybe we'll get to this when we come back. This coming out on WKRG.com, Dateline Foley, Alabama. A former Foley magistrate has been arrested after he allegedly admitted to trading THC-laced vapes for pictures of underage girls. I don't think that's ideal. Come back and get that story and a whole lot more.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. You know, it's an exciting time of year. Love it, love it, love it. As football is here, and by the way, a couple harbingers of that, of course, this last week, Tiger Talk and then Tiger Talk Overtime with Doug Holton on the air. We've got College Pick'em is live, and you've got the rest of the week here to get in. Hopefully you do that soon. Make sure you're in so you can win fantastic prizes and trash talk as well. Through the college football season. And remember, all of us here on air, I think, people the weekday, people between 6 and 2, okay, those weekday, we're all in the mix as well. We can't win the prizes, but the fun is that you can look where we ranked each week and talk trash, or you might be in awe of Dan's picks or whatever it is, and then you get to win the prizes. We just get to take trash talk or give it a little bit back. You can get signed up by going to fmtalk1065.com, clicking the link along the top header bar there that says College Pick'em Challenge. Get signed up and get signed up before the games start this weekend so you're on board. I'll tell you what, we'll have Dalton at some point this week come in and do a remedial with us. Like, we'll have a lunch and learn. If you've never entered our College Pick'em contest or you've done it in the past, and you want to kind of go through this, we'll have the lunch and learn. Dalton, I don't know when. We'll figure it out. Dalton's going to come in, and we'll talk about it here on the show. So that's on the way. And, of course, Auburn football Friday night here at FM Talk 106.5. So there's harbingers aplenty in the mix. I'll get back to the text here in a second. I do want to, this story, it just kind of came popping in here to the inbox here from WKRG. This is a former Foley magistrate. So this is the accusation here. A former Foley magistrate has been arrested after he allegedly admitted to trading THC-laced vapes for pictures of underage girls. Now, the detail, it says here, officials said the investigation into Joseph began last week after a parent contacted Foley Police Department. Bischoff allegedly told police there was at least one incident of him trading vapes for pictures. Bond hearing was held Saturday, where a judge set the bond at $100,000. Were underage people, girls, giving him the pictures of themselves for the vapes, or did he trade this off? I don't know, but that's... So there you go. Trading weed vapes for child porn, right? There you go. Way to go, sport. If you're guilty, if not, you're innocent until proven guilty. So it's up on our Facebook page. You can see that story if you go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Also on the fundraising side, even before tomorrow when the votes actually matter, the dollar bills, y'all. Story here from Kyle Hamrick over at Lanyap. Headline says, Cherry Gottis holds donation lead before Mobile mayoral election. Says less than 24 hours before polling stations open, campaign finance records show the four hopefuls running to replace Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson netted $2.2 million in donations. That's the total. It says one candidate alone raised nearly half that figure. Former Mobile judge Spiro Chiriagatis, Stimson's endorsed successor, received $1,064,542 in contributions from the start of his campaign to last week, according to the latest campaign finance report filed, I guess, this last Monday. Wow. Mobile County Commissioner Connie Hudson has $689,522 in her war chest, followed by Democratic State Representative Barbara Drummond with $356,958 and former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine with $171,442. So there you go. Over $2 million just in the Mobile mayoral race. $1 million, I said, yeah, sure, it'll be a $1 million race. But $2 million, and we can talk about this later. There's some breakdown here on where money came through, individuals, PACs, all that kind of stuff. We might talk about that after the news. Let's see. More people putting their guesses in for tomorrow. I think Derek opened this up. He was talking about wagering. How about this just for entertainment purposes? People talking about what they think is going to happen tomorrow. Let's see. Unnamed texter says Spiro and Drummond in the runoff. Let's see, is that, yeah, Spiro and Drummond in the runoff. Write that down. All these folks predicting Prine, money matters, and he's raised next to none, no chance. Well, I'll say that's not next to none, $171,000, but compared to $1 million-something for Cherry Gattis, you're right, it's not near the same money. By the way, thank you. Jim and Sims have been wearing trifocals for 15 years. You could do it, but remember to bend your head down to look under your tree stand. That's right. I'm bifocal, but I'm probably, what do they call it? I'm trifocal adjacent. I'm coming up with that. This texture says, I'm very surprised that Paul Prine's residency is not a bigger issue. I understand that Prine was an employee of the city of Mobile. However, it is very apparent that Mobile was never good enough for him to reside or raise his family. It seems crazy to me that anyone would want a candidate to represent our fellow citizens who is unwilling to live here. Oh, that's from Hunter. Okay, thank you. Now, let's see. So what's your bet? By the way, Hunter, while you're on there, what do you think is the outcome tomorrow? Michael says, I hadn't seen the prints on the new Daphne Amphitheater look awesome. Got to review them last week. And it's going to be a Bayfront jewel if it looks half as good as the renderings. Send me that. I'm ignorant to that, Michael. Says also, why can Baldwin County continuously build things that are both functional and beautiful, but Mobile always gets government plaza type garbage? What have we done that's now? Government Plaza is a testament to garbage. I agree with you in function and in look. But Michael, function, I mean, think about all the years of patching the leaks on the roof there on that building. I agree. And you put in a 300-year-old city, you put some kind of modern design. It made no sense to me. But what else follows? Like, I don't think we've done things that look like that since then, do you? Yeah, but I do agree with you on the county building there, 100%. Texture says, I think Connie was the odds-on favorite 4 months ago. She got outworked by Prine. Prine and Spiro in the runoff. All right, keep them coming in. We'll read these when we get back from the news.